And good afternoon, and welcome to our special signing day program on KXCV KRNW. Along with Matt Tritton, I'm John Coffey. Today's always a big day in college football, the day that high school seniors make the announcement that where they're going to go play their college football. And, Matt, as always, a lot of anticipation comes into this particular day. And I think this year a little bit different than past years without a college season on the Division II level. So it's been a unique season, and we'll be hearing from the head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright, a little bit later on during our program about the process. And I imagine everything involved with the recruiting process this year is just a little bit different for them.
Yeah, it really was kind of a crazy year when you kind of look up and down about Northwest Missouri State not really not having any games during the 2020 season. The last football game they played was at Ferris State in 2019, a 12-2 season there for the Bearcats. So coming off that, expecting some big things. And so whenever you think for Northwest Missouri State not having any games, not having any scrimmages, not being able to bring students here onto campus to be able to kind of see what that game day atmosphere is like, I think they still had the chance to get some official visits, still had some COVID-19 protocols to go through with all of that. But one of the big selling points, I think, for Northwest is a packed Bearcat Stadium on a beautiful Saturday afternoon in September and beating up on an MIAA opponent, which we've seen a lot over the last 20-plus years. And so to not have that, that hurts a little bit. The other side of it is, too, you don't have an entire senior class going out and then everybody kind of taking a step forward and going up a grade, and then that opens up a lot more slots for freshmen to be coming in from that high school level or transfers coming in. And so with that, you kind of have a logjam, and so it kind of forces teams to reevaluate, what do we want to do right now with this signing class? How many students do we want to bring in? How are we going to find ways to better our team and better the players that we have right now? So typically, I think last year we saw, 50, 51 players for Northwest signing on signing day. This year, only 29, 26 of those high school students, three of them transfers coming in. We saw them kind of all throughout the Midwest tucked in from Texas up to Illinois, and so not really reaching out to the coast as much. And so, yeah, just kind of a lot of things creating a variation of a normal signing day and a signing period that we normally see. But for Northwest, I think, and we'll hear from Coach Wright here in just a minute, that some really good athletes coming in. We have 9 players from Missouri, 9 from Kansas, 4 from Iowa, and so really good whenever you kind of look at what you see from the Midwest coming in here from Northwest Missouri State.
And we are now joined by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. And Rich, it's good to have you on. Good to talk to you. It's been a while since we've had an opportunity to chat with the strange type of fall that we've had. But I guess this is kind of a little bit of normalcy here with signing day and a chance to talk to you on National Signing Day.
Absolutely. You know, one of the exciting things was getting through the holidays, getting through the new year. It was almost like a reset for our football program. We're excited about the future in 2022 and can't think of a better subject to talk about than this recruiting class. So,
whenever you go through and you have such a long layoff, no games throughout this year, like John mentioned, looking for that normalcy, I imagine once that fax machine warmed up this morning, like, all right, we're getting back into it now.
There's no doubt about it. You know, this is a fun day. You know, my wife was talking about it this morning. She said, you know, this has historically been one of my favorite days of the year to see the new Bearcats come in and just what they're all about. But, you know, we've been back at work since we got back on campus. Our kids understand the drill. They know what it's about. You know, there's a lot of excitement in our weight room. We're working hard, excited to start spring practices too, but this is just kind of the icing on the cake, so to speak.
How was the process different this year? I know high school football, most regions had an opportunity to have a season, so you had a chance to get tape and maybe go out and see some of these games, but how was it a little bit different for you this year?
Boy, it was different in a lot of respects. You know, we'll talk about a couple kids from the state of Illinois, and Illinois didn't have football this year. You know, so that was a huge challenge for them. In terms of us, there were several things that were different. This fall, we brought kids to campus. Because of COVID, it was difficult for us to get into high schools. So one of the things that we tried to focus on was actually bring them to us. And because of that, we were able to test them. And, man, that really helped hone in and laser focus the guys that we wanted to pinpoint and move forward with as far as recruits. Obviously, as you guys look through our list, it's a smaller list than what's normal. You know, we have one of the challenges we have moving forward is we've got 17 super seniors, I guess you can call them, that are going to be back in the program in the fall. You know, so we in essence have 6 classes. This group of freshmen will tie in from an eligibility standpoint with the previous year's freshmen. They'll, you know, because everybody got their year of eligibility back. So we really tried to focus on our scholarship kids and not take the numbers that we would normally take, because right now I sit on our roster as of today, 133 players. Typical for us at this time of year is more like 100. Mm. So there's been a lot of little tweaks. We feel like we did a great job with the quality of our class, and that's what we tried to focus on.
Not having those games, and especially a state like Illinois, and I think there are probably some in Missouri and some other areas, you probably got to see them a little bit in person and some huddle video from this year, actually. But whenever they came to campus, was it essentially like what a college player would have for the pro day?
Yes and no. We did, you know, a couple of general testing things with them. Where we really tried to focus in on is doing more position-specific stuff. So instead of running a 40 and doing, you know, the W drills and some of those things that you guys see for the combine, we wanted to, you know, kind of put our hands on them, so to speak, see how they learn, see how they adjust to coaching, take a look at some general athletics things, but put it more within the framework of the position that they were playing. And man, those testing days were revealing for us. It really helped, like I said, hone in on the guys we truly wanted to target.
I would guess you had an opportunity then to just kind of see exactly what you wanted out of each of these individuals as they would come in then.
Absolutely. You know, it was so much, in some ways, it was a blessing, because, you know, when you go to a high school and you're visiting with a senior, you know, you're going to get to see that kid maybe for 10 or 15 minutes. Everything you're going to get off of, you're going to get off of film. You know, I got to put that kid in front of me live and get to see what he could do. He got to spend a day on our campus, you know, doing everything from a campus tour to looking at our facilities to meeting with our coaches. You know, so it was really a win-win on both sides of the fence with that respect.
We think about recruiting, and it's coming to campus on a Saturday in September, a sunny day, it's full, beating up on an MIAA team. That's huge. But whenever you think about going through, you're working out, you get that campus tour, everything a student got this year, are there certain things we're going to see rolling into 2022 and beyond for that recruiting that, hey, it worked this year, we're going to keep that up?
It is. There are some things that we had to do because of our forced situation that were actually beneficial for us, and we're going to continue to cultivate moving forward.
I guess just a case of thinking out of the box just a little bit more than what you normally have to even there.
Yeah, you know, this year's all been about adapting, you know, and being flexible and finding new pathways to yes. I mean, ultimately, that's what everybody in our country has had to do. And as a program, you know, the teams that maximize the time that we've had and find pathways to create success are the teams that are going to flourish moving forward.
As we're going through the summer and you kind of see the writing on the wall that it's going to be kind of difficult with COVID-19, when do you start remapping and saying, all right, maybe we're not bringing in 50 this year, maybe we're cutting that number down?
Well, that was a little bit in flux too, just because we didn't know at the time. You know, I had to meet with every one of our seniors and find out what their pathway was going to be. You know, are they coming back? Are they not coming back? What's in the best interest of the individual? You know, so it started there. Then we're trying to migrate our way through, you know, all the legislation of the NCAA. Were they going to grant an extra year? Who are they going to grant an extra year to? How is this all going to play out? And so our formula was kind of in flux until about midway through the fall, when we kind of honed in on exactly what was going to have to happen and how we were going to attack it.
It was such a strange fall from the aspect, too, of really not knowing if you were going to go through your fall workouts, if you're going to have any scrimmages at the end of the workouts or not, and how all that played out. But when you looked at the team you had this past fall, how hard was it to evaluate what you had to then evaluate what you wanted to bring in for the signing?
Yeah, you know, that was the one thing that was the benefit of actually practicing for 6 weeks in the fall, is we were able to identify, you know, needs. Again, I'm a big proponent of finding the silver linings and things. You know, because of no spring practice, because of no summer workouts, Coach Sturdy being new as the offensive coordinator, there were a lot of challenges there in a constrained amount of time. So for us to be able to implement the offense, get people inundated to what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, was a big advantage for us. And it also, you know, within tweaks and structures of offense, you kind of get to see how the players fit within that. And so it gave us a good blueprint for what we were going to have to go get moving forward.
We think about building strength, working with Joe Q, getting out in the football field. But as a year like this, build a lot more mental strength and some of that character for a football team to where fourth quarter next year, you're going to think back to some of the stress and some of the anxiety and some of the things you had to go through this year, that these players are going to flourish in that situation.
I agree. I think one of the things is just – I think a sense of appreciation, you know what I mean? You know, sometimes when these kids, they go through playing football for their whole lives, the next step is just college, and that's where you go. It kind of becomes a routine. And, you know, if there's one thing this year taught us is that it's not guaranteed. And so just developing an appreciation for that, from a mental toughness standpoint, I think it was more taxing on us mentally than it was physically. The most difficult thing for my players and ultimately me was never – we're used to being in games where things happen and you have to persevere. But we've never had to do that within the structure of our program. Typically, and I could do it right now today if I had my computer, I can tell you exactly what we're doing every day from now until the national championship. and that model has never changed in terms of how we structure all that. Well, you go this year, I mean, I couldn't tell you what we were doing tomorrow, much less, you know, what we were doing a week out. And, you know, so it was a grind on everybody. And we had to, you know, one of the things I challenged the players with in my exit interviews is that's our new normal. You know, when we line up in a football game, the offense doesn't plan on turning the ball over, but it happens. You know, the defense doesn't plan on giving up a big score. Your special teams don't plan on block punts. But we have to find a way to yes. And so we've already had a dry run of this. You know, anticipate being adaptable. Anticipate having things come up. Anticipate having hiccups and having to adjust. And I think just everybody's more, you know, the most difficult thing about the fall is nobody knew what it was going to look like or how it was going to be. We now had a pretty good dry run of that. So I think moving forward, everybody's on the same page.
For you personally, how tough was it on a Saturday afternoon this fall when it's sunny out, getting about 1:30, where it's normally about a kickoff time for you to spend your Saturday afternoons this past fall?
I'll use a word, excruciating. it was hard. You know, it was at times I had a pity party. My wife had to kick my tail a little bit. You know, it was difficult mentally because the high schools found a pathway to yes because they didn't have the restrictions that we had and they didn't have to do the testing. The Division I's were going to play come hell or high water, you know, just because of the finances of it. And to be the kind of, with us, Division, you know, 1AA, Division II, and Division III kind of ostracized from that mix, it's hard. But, you know, in talking to a lot of my friends at the Division I level, to a person, they would tell you that it was the most miserable football season they've ever had in their lives. There was nothing about it that was fun. There was nothing about it that was enjoyable. They were playing with people. They'd get to a practice and have three offensive linemen. They'd be converting wide receivers to DBs and vice versa. It wasn't a true reflection on what they were as a program. And it was just difficult all the way around.
Overall, though, I'm sure probably a few more honeydew projects at home were able to get done, right?
I'll divert that to my wife, Sarah.
Now, I will say, though, there is a project at Northwest right now within the football program, that new locker room project coming up, and we talk about recruits and how big that is. But, man, that's something that I think is probably well needed for this program right now.
It really is. You know, we started to take a look a couple of years ago about, you know, the framework of our facilities. And our stadium is great, and the Hughes is obviously phenomenal, and gosh, the Nottoway Valley Bank scoreboard's unbelievable. But you start going into the spaces that the players use every day. And our locker room was pretty long in the tooth. And as I started to assess the other teams in our league, we were in bottom third of locker room complexes in our league. And that's just not where Northwest Missouri State belongs. And so we started spearheading an effort in late February. I know, perfect timing on that, right as COVID hit. That was ideal, of trying to upgrade our locker room facility. And I was on anywhere from 5 to 7 Zooms with former players and alums and boosters every week, really throughout the summer. And so we're really excited. We've raised project is right around $1.5 million. We hope to secure a little bit more than that, because any project you ever do, there's some hidden expenses before it finalizes. But we're over $1.3 million, and that's due to the generosity of Bearcat Nation. Really, our former players, our alums, and our biggest boosters. But we still have a push to go. We've got to secure at least another $300,000. It's got to be done by March in order to get construction going in April. And anybody that understands construction, I'm on a pretty tight time block as it is to be able to move into the facility in August. And so everything is in place. We just need the fidelity of, you know, one of the things we've really kind of focused in on our alumni base, but we need the community to come out and support this. It's huge for our program moving forward. It's going to put us in the upper echelon of the MIAA, and honestly, I think that's where we all feel like Northwest should be in terms of its facilities. So we're excited. We just got to capitalize on this. It's in the fourth quarter. We got the ball. We're down by three. I need a touchdown. How about that? I'll draw you out that analogy.
You want a touchdown over a field goal?
I want a touchdown. I'm not interested in field goals.
Again, we were talking with Rich Wright, the head football coach at Northwest Missouri State. Today is National Signing Day. We're broadcasting live from the A&G restaurant in downtown Maryville. When we come back, we'll break down the signings that you're bringing in here for the upcoming year, and we'll do that right after this timeout. Again, broadcasting live from A&G in downtown Maryville.
Support for KXCV KRNW is brought to you by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Super Bonanza each weekday, and Greek Night every Friday. More information available at agrestaurant.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Mill and Dinsdale Seed Company in Maryville and Oregon. Representing Golden Harvest Corn and NK Soybeans, Mill and Dinsdale reminds you that there are no practice fields in farming. More at millanddinsdaleseed.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Carlson Seed in Blanchard, Iowa. Carlson Seed's been family-owned since 1973 and distributes DeKalb Asgrow seeds, chemicals, precision planting products, and more. For more information, carlsonseed.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union at the Highway 71 and East South Avenue intersection, serving Nottoway County employees, Northwest alumni, and 19 school districts across the area. Northwest Missouri Regional Credit Union, today, tomorrow, together. The Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Rich Wright, as today is National Signing Day, and we are going to go over the signing class that you're bringing in. But first, let's just talk a little bit about the site we're at here today with A&G Restaurant, and I know that you've done a lot for your program.
They really have. George and Dino have been tremendous supporters of us. You talk about this year, and they have been for several years now. They've been crucial in our recruiting visits. All our recruiting visits are done through A&G. And with the challenges this year of COVID, they didn't blink. You know, they found a way to yes. And you hear me say that cliche all the time. And, just their family and their support over the years for our football program and their fidelity means the world. And so I just want to tell all of them thank you. When we had our big recruiting dinner a couple weeks ago, when I say this place is truly a family affair, that's what it is. I mean, Emily Gramudis is running around and Chad is running around and, you know, just their whole family and the involvement that they have. And they've been such a vital part of our community for a number of years.
Also, before we talk about the recruiting class you're bringing in, a little bit of news that you have here to break today with your coaching staff.
Yeah, I do. First I want to say, Coach Osborne got the opportunity to go to Benedictine to be a head football coach, and wish him nothing but the best of luck. He's been a big part of our staff for 17 years, and he and his family have been fixtures in Maryville. Audrey and the boys have just been such an integral part of what we've done. But, in this profession, we all have aspirations, and Joel wanted to be a head football coach. And, as he and I sat down and talked about some of this stuff, every year there's head coaching positions that open up, but the vast majority of them are ones that are open for a reason. And Benedictine was different. It's a place that had had success. It's a place that has a good culture, and I just think that fit him and his family, so we're excited about that. To pivot it around, though, we're extremely excited to announce that we've hired Zach Martin and Roberto Davis, two former Bearcats, to join our staff. And both were graduate assistants here. Both were former players here. Both are going to come in and not miss a beat. They understand our culture. They understand what it takes to be successful. They're both great people in the community. And I'm excited to watch. You know, we don't get in a lot of opportunities to bring younger guys in. Usually it's more chiseled veterans, so to speak. So to get two younger guys with the energy they have and the excitement and the passion they have for Bearcat football, I just think it's a win-win for everybody.
And the pedigree, too. They both won national championships here, right?
Yeah, sure did.
09 for Davis and 16 for Martin. So
exactly.
That's a good pedigree to go along with. We talk about that. Those guys coming in, that's big. You've got 29 players coming in, and obviously athletes were expecting to go in and win a lot of games. We're hoping for some national championships, of course. No pressure, Coach. Going on right now.
None whatsoever. I get that in high V every day.
There you go.
No
yeah. They're student athletes, though, and you're coming in with some kids that they're knocking it out in the classroom in high school.
Yeah, you know, that's something I really wanted to focus on this year, and it's you know, we haven't done this in the past, but, you know, we talk about that within our program all the time, and, you know, the hook to get people to come to Maryville, maybe, you know, the football program. But, you know, in our recruiting, one of the biggest factors that we look at is what a kid's doing in the classroom. Because we want a well-rounded kid. We want a kid that wants to be elite. We want a kid that wants to be successful. And it's easy to be motivated when you run out of a tunnel in front of 10,000 people. It's a little different when nobody's tapping you on the rear end telling you what a good job you're doing in the classroom. And so we feel like what they do academically is indicative of who they are as people, and it's just part of the research. And, you know, this class, man, I'm proud of this. You know, it was part of the reason I was right here right at 12 is I put together some numbers. So 81% of our class, so 22 of the 27 commitments that we have this year are above a 3.0 GPA. 52%, so 14 of 27 are above a 3.5. 3 of the 27 have a 4-point GPA or higher. The class in totality, the average GPA of those kids coming in is 3.35. And so I think that speaks volumes for what we try and bring to our campus. It's not just a good football player. I want a good person. I want a person that wants to be great in everything that they do, and that includes the classroom. We've got kids that are really committed to their degree and their education, and that, let's face it, guys, that's what college football is all about.
And not only that, but I think that carries over on the football field too. When you bring in student athletes of that nature, where they can take what you're giving them and transfer that onto the field a lot easier when you bring in that type of player.
There's no doubt, you know, and it impacts in a couple of ways. It's great to sign tremendous athletes, but if those athletes can't get from point A to point B, meaning graduation, that doesn't help us. You know, where kids are typically going to pay dividends for me is year 3, year 4, year 5. And so you have to bring in somebody that can handle the rigors of college work, can understand the time management skills that it takes, can flourish in that environment academically in order to get them onto the field. But yes, to your point, you know, you take kids that are brighter, and they are going to digest concepts easier, and it does make your coaching easier. One of the things that I don't think people recognize is how much time we have to spend with underachieving academic athletes. You know, the tutoring sessions, managing their class schedules, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. The less of those headaches I have as a football coach, the more time I can spend on doing what I do well, which is coaching football. And so it permeates everywhere into our program.
When you look at this recruiting class, it's a pretty good line of Midwest through and through, reaching down to Texas, up to Illinois, Nebraska, Kansas, of course, a lot of Missouri. Is that something that was pushed a little bit more due to COVID-19, or is that just something you kind of focus on in general?
It's typically our philosophy. Our philosophy is to get Midwest tough. We talk about that all the time and have for years. Our wheelhouse, because of where we're located, is Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri, and Kansas. We've had good luck in the state of Illinois, but it kind of fits that same blueprint. You know, we've expanded a little bit going south towards Arkansas. Had a kid from Arkansas last year, and now back into Texas a little bit. But we're focused more, we're out of the metro areas. We're looking for pickup trucks and gun racks. We're looking for smaller towns. We're looking for multi-sport athletes, because that's kind of what plugs and plays up here for us. And you know, we have a very specific skill set that we look for, but that mentality, you know, it's not just recruiting, again, a player. It's recruiting somebody that's going to be able to fit in and live in the Maryville community. And we go all over the place for that, but they've got to want to come to Maryville. They've got to want to be in Maryville. They've got to want a smaller town. They've got to want a medium-sized campus. Because if you try and pound a square peg into a round hole, it doesn't work out for the athlete, and it certainly doesn't end up working out for us. And we feel like we did a really good job with that.
When you break it down by position, were there any specific positions that you had a little more emphasis on this year than maybe in the past?
Did you notice the number of D linemen I signed?
I did.
You like D linemen.
Yes.
There is a reason for that. I happen to still be the D-line coach and the defensive coordinator.
So best athletes on the field.
I'm always going to have toys in the toy box. I learned a long time ago that if you can control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, you have a chance to impact the football game. And I think Bearcat fans have seen in the last, you know, since I've taken over as the defensive coordinator, there's been a big-time emphasis on the defensive line. And we can impose our will in the running game, which is obvious, but also the passing game. And so it was time for us to load up, and I feel like we hit a home run with that position group. That was a big area of emphasis for us this year.
And, of course, here in Maryville, folks see that Mark Gustafson name staying right here at home. And,
yep.
And that's kind of a cool one. He's got that big frame. Is that when you look at – put him in the weight room with Joe Quinlan, maybe get him out at the end.
Yeah, you know, as we start to delve into the defensive linemen in particular, Mark's not unique. You're going to start to look at the sizes of some of these kids and be like, holy cow, yeah, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for big people that we can grow and develop. If Mark was sitting there right now at 260 or 270, then I'm probably not recruiting him. You know, and a big part of what we look for is those multi-sport athletes. Mark's playing basketball right now, you know, and so he doesn't have the weight room time. He doesn't have the ability to train 365 days, and he doesn't have Joe Quinlan staring over the top of him while he does it. So, yeah, it's, you know, his dad is a good friend of mine, but was a phenomenal football player at Nebraska Kearney, was a full-time coach on our staff. He just has a good pedigree, and so we're excited.
And when you look at the rest of the ones you bring in on the D-line, what are some of the other things that really stand out with that core?
Length. They're all – I've got 6'7", 6'8", 6'6", 6'5", and I'm just doing the defensive ends right now, and 6'2". So, I mean, he's the short guy, but he's pretty explosive. We were looking for that, and then we were looking for a couple of guys inside – that we felt like could play a little quicker and feel like we hit that too.
Is it required if you're an offensive lineman to have a little brother that could come in and play? As Luke Zaguna's coming in, his brother Seth's already on the team. We have two Bouts boys already,
right.
A couple Clarksons as well, so we're just adding to the brothers.
Right, no doubt about that. We do a good job with that as far as getting legacies at Northwest Missouri State.
I think that probably just says a lot for your program, where you've had an older brother go through and the younger ones kind of see what you guys do, and they want to be a part of that.
Exactly. No doubt about it.
Platte County, Chris Grunke coming in, a very talented kid down the road, only one quarterback, but was he one he kind of had circled as far as get that talent in?
Okay, guys, you got to give me the format. So are we going to go through them all, or are you just kind of looking for little highlights?
I just have a couple guys. Yeah. I have a couple guys highlighted here
okay,
so far.
Okay, so yeah, I'll go in whatever direction. Yeah, he was our guy. He was our guy from the summer. He was the one that we wanted. We were blessed to get him. Tremendous talent. I'll talk more about him after a bit, but he checked all the boxes, and he's a winner.
One guy that really stands out to me, just from a name standpoint in the position, Tank Young, a running back. He was kind of born to be a running back with a name like that, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, but he's fast. You know, so when I think Tank, I don't think fast, but he's fast. He's a dynamic player. He's one of the best players in the state of Kansas. You know, really excited for him. He can do it all. He's got every skill that you want to have in a running back, and he was really productive in high school.
Oh, we saw him getting an offer from Iowa State at some other Division I looks, and that's kind of what we see from more Northwest. There's some guys that are fringe right there, but they see that winning tradition and want to be Bearcats.
Yeah, we, you know, those are the kids that we just have to battle on and continue to be with. And, you know, my staff, I got to give a huge shout-out to our assistant coaches that just do an unbelievable job of beating the bushes and grinding. And that's developing relationships. More than anything else, I think that gets underscored or undercounted in the recruiting process. It's developing real relationships with people, and our staff does it better than anybody else.
When you look on the defensive side, besides the defensive line, you looks like you're bringing in some pretty good people at the D-back position, linebackers. Well.
Yeah, we did it. We kind of did a reset in totality, and we really focused on quality, and I think that we nailed both. We probably overextended a little bit at linebacker from what we had money-wise, but every once in a while we'll take an NFL philosophy of, you know, you see in draft talk a lot, it's yes, you have needs at a specific position, but who's the best player on the board? And there were a couple kids there that we just could not say no to. They're great players, are going to be really productive here. We have a lot of depth at linebacker right now in our classes, but they're going to find their way on the football field.
A few transfers coming in also, a couple from South Dakota State, also one from Missouri Western. Was that just kind of open himself back up and had the opportunity to bring him back up to Northwest?
Yeah, he was actually a kid, so you guys are aware that, you know, Bryce was a kid that we recruited out of high school and really liked. The thing was that we ran out of scholarship money. So linebacker, we were slotted out in linebackers in September going into that season. And so we had no money left. And so it was one of those weird situations where he was at the very top of our board. We just couldn't take him. And visited with him and his father. He entered the portal. His dad is a former Bearcat and had an opportunity to sign him, so we pulled the trigger.
I know you typically really concentrate a lot on the high school signings, but when you do bring in a transfer, it really seems like you bring in for a specific need, and also you do a lot of background where they really fit into the program when you bring them in.
Yeah, you know, surprisingly enough, usually, not always, but usually, if we're going to bring in a transfer, we have either one of two things. We either know the staff where the kid is transferring from on a level with which there's trust and knowing how that kid's going to progress moving forward, or it's a kid we recruited from high school. So three of the transfers, we recruited directly from high school. So we had our own book on each of those kids as far as what we thought they could do.
As you look at it right now and wrapping up and kind of looking at that signing day, are you kind of sitting back saying, all right, can't wait till week two? Because at that point, the COVID-19 questions go away. We've got 1 week of football under our belt, and it's all football at that point.
Yeah, I'm just looking for, yeah, give me any
throw out COVID-19 then.
Any normal that I can get my hands on, I'm ready for. So if anybody has any extra shots, let me know. I'm willing to be the first guinea pig in Maryville. So
again, we are broadcasting downtown Maryville at A&G Restaurant with the head coach of the Northwest football team, Rich Wright. We'll be back, have more right after this timeout on KXCV KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW is brought to you by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Super Bonanza each weekday, and Greek Night every Friday. More information available at agrestaurant.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Championship Motors in Maryville. Championship offers late model pre-owned autos and conducts vehicle searches upon request. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 582-8800.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Rogers Pharmacy in Maryville, St. Joseph, Mound City, and Tarkio. The Rogers family has been providing Northwest Missouri families with pharmacy services, medical supplies, and home medical equipment since 1967. More online at rogersrx.com. And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW National Signing Day Program, broadcasting live from A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville. And joining us is the head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich Wright. And Rich, let's just kind of go over this list real quickly and to give everyone an idea of the players you're bringing in here. And just might start out the top here and just look at Jackson Alexander and what he brings to the program.
Yeah, Jackson's a big receiver, 6'2", 192 pounds, has great length. Runs really well for a bigger kid. On tape, his route running skills are advanced for a high school football player, and that was the thing that really caught our eye. Has an excellent catch radius and played for former Bearcat Landon Kubicek. So he's up in Gretna, Nebraska now. Really think this kid has a high ceiling.
Going down the line, Cooper Berry, a defensive lineman coming out of Warrensburg, kind of taking him out from under UCM.
Yeah, Cooper, I was excited about him. He's one of those big frames we like on the defensive line at Northwest. In his individual drill, Trey Cothey's been helping me out as a graduate assistant. And Trey used to play offensive line, and we did a punch drill, and he about bruised up Coach Cothey, so I knew I had something there. He's 6'6", 235, a little bigger. He's going to be a big kid once he gets in with Joe Quinlan. I was impressed with him on film. His get-off and change of direction is the thing that really jumped out at me. We've got him slotted in as one of the defensive ends, and once he fills into his frame, he's going to be ginormous. He's going to be in that Cass Weidel, Colin Bevins, you know, mold.
Parker Bowen, a linebacker from Raymore.
Parker has the distinction of being the first Bearcat that committed to us this year. He was the first verbal of the class of 2022. Played a huge role in Ray Peck's state championship run. Was a defensive player of the year. And, you know, the thing for me with him was watching his instincts on film. He flies around, and, I mean, I'm telling you, when he hits you, he deletes you. You know, ball carriers go to the ground. Tremendous leader, big part of that state championship team, and so we're blessed to have Parker become a part of our roster.
Andrew Bradley, a cornerback. I know you like to go fast on the racetrack. He's pretty fast in track and field, too.
Yeah, okay, so the superlatives that you have right here, fast, did I mention fast?
I think he's fast, right?
Yeah, he's fast. He's an explosive two-way kid out of Blue Valley West. Had a knee injury this fall, so didn't play. I think some of the bigger schools kind of shied away, and that's our benefit. I think he's got tremendous upside. He reminds me of former Bearcat Marcus Jones, who played both ways at Kansas City North in high school. He's got great hips, really fluid in his change of direction. I think this is a solid get for Northwest Missouri State.
And another area kid out of Platte County, and Trey Butcher, an offensive lineman.
Yeah, this son of a gun played every position on the offensive line. Comes from a really good high school program in Platte County. He's teammate of Chris Runke, who we talked briefly about before. The things that pop to me is he's a physical kid. He gets to level two well, which we need offensive linemen to do. He has to get bigger. You know, that's going to be his big MO. But that's indicative of most offensive and defensive linemen that come into our program. They got to gain size and mass. But, you know, he's a good one, and we're excited to have him aboard.
And Bailey Darnell, one of the first transfers coming in from South Dakota State.
Yeah, you know, so Bailey's a kid out of Auburn, Nebraska that we recruited out of high school. He actually played at SDSU in 2019. We're looking for him to come in and compete in the spring. You know, when we look at transfers, that's one of the things that we focus on. He was a multi-sport athlete in high school, dominated in every sport he played. He's physical, has great instincts, and breaks to the ball really well. The biggest variable on Bailey and how – you know, how he trends moving forward into our program is literally how well he picks up our defense, because that guy's the quarterback of the defense, and he's got to know it like the back of his hand. So the learning curve is going to be the thing that's going to be integral for Bailey, because the athleticism's there.
Now, you talked a little bit earlier at the start of the show about having some success the last several years out of Illinois. Gurney, Illinois product coming in, Mark Davila, junior, defensive back.
Yeah, Mark is a teammate of Josh Thomas. He's a talented defensive back, played at the highest level of football in Chicagoland, won a state championship as a junior. Obviously, Illinois didn't play this year, but his visit to our campus was really important. Man, were we impressed. He shined. He was a kid that was super athletic, does everything we want our corners to do. Meaning he can play press. Not every corner does that. You see a lot of off coverage in high school. He has phenomenal feet, and he's physical as a tackler, so we're excited.
Another Illinois guy, I'm sure, chomping at the bit to get back at it, Mays Dogan.
Yeah, no doubt. This kid is 6'1", 181 pounds, has good length. We're going to start him at corner, but he can really play any of the four positions for us, which gives him some versatility. Had an excellent testing day, a lot like Mark. You know, his tape is impressive from his junior season. He covers ground well, has great feet, and good ball skills when it's in the air. So we're excited about Mays.
Now, one of the bigger city players you're bringing in over from St. Louis, one of the linebackers you talked about earlier too, Carter Edwards, coming in at the linebacker spot.
Okay, one word, leader. He's a phenomenal leader. That's the word we kept hearing, you know, all over in that area, is what a tremendous leader this kid was. Didn't matter whether it was his coaches or opposing coaches. That word kept resonating. He anchored the defense on great programs at DeSmet, was a state champion as a junior, fell to Ray Peck as the runner-up his senior season. Things that pop on film for me were his instincts, physicality, and being a great tackler. He plays with a tremendous motor. He's going to fit into being a Bearcat really well.
Benjamin Ines, a defensive lineman coming in from Raymore, and Raymore Peculiar, I should say. One of these guys, a lot of size coming in.
Yeah, you know, he's one of the ones that, you know, we've got him, you know, in the release, they've got him as a D lineman, and that really fit because of our scholarship threshold. This kid's going to start out as a linebacker, and he was a heck of a linebacker at Ray Peck. I don't know where he's going to evolve to because he's got one of those tweener bodies, but he runs well. He was a tremendous player this year. Ironically enough, and for those of you that are listening, don't ever be bashful about sending me kids. Greg Teal calls me up one day and says, you know, you got to look at this Ines kid. I know you got the Bowen kid. I know he's a linebacker. I know you're limited. And he was really kind of the catalyst that drew us to him. He had an outstanding test day for us. He's an impressive kid. He's an intense kid. You know, that resonates in his testing day, is just his intensity and everything that he does. You know, he's an outstanding player. We're looking at him as a strong side rover linebacker for us, so the linebacker that lines up on the tight end. Sam Phillips is playing that position right now, but he fits that mold, and I wouldn't discount him as being an LB versus a DN, but he could flat out do either one. He's got a thick lower half, and he's got snap.
The next player, you didn't have to go too far away from Raymore Peculiar area for this one, over at Lee Summit with Shane Fredrickson, the safety.
Yeah, you know, you get Lee Summit West High School, you know you got a great culture. You know, coach does a phenomenal job down there. He's a prototype safety. You know, he does all the things we ask a safety to do. He's physical, he's a great tackler, good hips, breaks on the ball, phenomenal leader. You know, he's a 4.04 GPA, to give you an indicator of what he's doing in the classroom. His grandpa, Mike Beach, played football at Northwest Missouri State, so he's got a little bit of that green blood flowing through him, and that's always a plus. You know, we were excited as heck when he verbally committed and now today signed the NLI.
We've seen a lot of guys from Elkhorn, Nebraska come through here, a lot of athletes overall throughout Bearcat Athletics, and Gannon Gregert also coming in.
You've been stealing my notes, haven't you? Because we do have a long tradition of Elkhorn kids. More recently, Elkhorn South, but, you know, when you look back at Tyler Roach and Kyle Kaiser and some of those guys from Elkhorn High, this is just another one from Coach Wortman. He's a very athletic tight end, dynamic player. Watching him on tape, his ball skills and athleticism were really what resonated. He's going to be one of those guys that needs to gain mass, and tight end is a lot like D end in the sense that, you know, he's 210 right now. To play for us, probably needs to be more like 240, but that's what Joe Q does best. His dad, he's got good pedigree. His dad played at Wyoming, and in addition to being a great tight end, he was also an all-state punter. You know, so we may be able, even looking at him in that capacity down the road.
Now, we've already talked about Mark Gustafson out of Maryville, so we might move on to a wide receiver out of Texas and James Jones Jr. And tell you what, we've had through the year some pretty good wide receivers come from the state of Texas.
Texas and Northwest wide receivers just make sense, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Especially for the ones that we've had. This kid's a sleeper. He's one of those small-town kids that I was talking about. He's 6'1", 203 pounds. Had a great testing day here over the summer. He made a huge jump between his junior and senior tape. I think some people shied away from him based on his junior tape. His senior year, he was very productive. I think our staff did a great job of building a relationship with him this fall. So I say big physical kid. He can run. You know, but the thing that was intriguing to me and got my juices flowing, he played Mike linebacker. How many wide receivers do you know that also play Mike linebacker?
I don't know if I've ever seen one, actually.
You know, and that's a pretty good combination, because he was flying around all over the field knocking the heck out of people. And so just that toughness and that grit was something that really pushed us in his direction. I'll tell you what, if Coach Sturdy doesn't want him a wide receiver, I'll take him right now.
I was going to say, that probably the fact that he's played some defense kind of opened your eyes there.
We might play both ways. Who the heck knows?
Next, Charles Woodson out there. Keegan Cooey is safety from Staley High School in Kansas City. Played linebacker in high school, but listed as safety for you.
Yes. You know, so he's a son of Kevin. Kevin's been, a huge supporter of our football program down at Staley High School. Keegan's a physical safety. You say Staley, great program, great culture. Those are all things that we look for. He's a tremendous leader. He did a great job at his testing day. He really opened our eyes. That was kind of what kind of flipped the switch and got us to go and make an offer on him. He's a good tackler and is physical, good instincts, and he's a leader. Those things are all those intangibles that we kind of look for. He's got that green flowing through his blood, which I always like people to drink the green Kool-Aid. So Keegan's a good get for us.
We might move on to another position here, a kicker and punter out of Omaha and Millard South. Seems like we have a lot of good players come from Omaha as well. This time, Cole Amwell coming in.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've had a Millard South kid, but guys, write it down. This kid's a weapon. I'm excited he chose to be a Bearcat. I don't know, for our listeners, how familiar are Coles is one of the nationally rated kicking camps. He was a 4.5 star out of Coles. The only score better is perfect 5 score. He has a huge leg, gets the ball up quickly, great hang time on his kickoffs, made several big time kicks for Millard South down the stretch. Guys, he's got ice water in his veins. On his testing day, I'm sitting there trying to mess with him. I'm standing in front of him. I'm switching his lines. He didn't even blink. He just kind of looked at me. He's like, get out of the way, old man. And I kind of like that mentality in a kicker. He's a winner.
Zayden Marroquin coming in from Olathe, Kansas. He's a defensive back, another kid that another bright kid in the class from a national merit commended scholar, and a chance to be a weapon on your defense.
No doubt. 4.26 GPA, to give you a little bit.
Into That's like
his...
John Coffey in high school.
I don't know about that. But
I definitely wasn't Coach Wright, I can assure you. He's going to play corner. He's smooth. So the adjective I'd use with him is smooth. Everything he does looks effortless. He can play anywhere in the secondary. He had a great testing day for us. He's a wrestler. And if you've ever heard me on signing day, I always like to talk about wrestlers. I'm always going to pitch that. On film, his change of direction and breaks on the ball are what showed up. And he's a good tackler. So that was something that we really tried to emphasize in the back end. I told Coach Clayton, I don't care how pretty anybody looks, do not bring them down to my office if they don't tackle people. So that was a huge emphasis in our secondary, and I think we knocked it out of the park.
Next one we look at coming out of Iowa, Logan Iowa and Trey Milby, a defensive end. Another one of those guys you talked about that's a multi-sport guy.
Yeah, not only is he a three-sport guy, but he's a four-sport guy, and he excels in every single one of them. He plays, I think he's averaging right around 30 points a game in basketball right now. He's one of the best pitchers in the state of Iowa. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's got a pretty good discus throw as well. So he's one of those kids that has never had a chance to fill out his frame. He's 6'7", 222 pounds. Guys, he got injured as a junior, so he had no tape. So, a lot of the Division I AA schools, without junior tape, don't assess, and that's going to be our gain. I think he's got great upside. Get him in the weight room. Get him lifting for 365 days. You can see in all the sports that he plays his explosiveness and his athleticism. He was the defensive MVP for the district. I think we got a steal there.
On the flip side, offensive line, Ewan Mills coming in from Topeka, Kansas, and a 5A All-State player there.
Yeah, I really like this kid. He finishes blocks. He's physical. He's athletic. He's one of those guys that could probably play defense just because he plays O-line with a nasty. He's played multiple. He can play any one of the three positions on the inside. He fits our center. Center is so important. We got to have a kid that can snap the football in the shotgun system, and he fits that target to a T. But he can play either guard, which makes him versatile. His dad played college football at Tulsa. Great family, and we're excited.
looking at Stillwell, Kansas, for the next recruit here, for Clayton Powell coming out of Blue Valley.
Yeah, big, powerful kid on tape. This kid eats up more blocks than McDonald's sells cheeseburgers. So he's pretty good at it. Really strong. He's going to anchor the inside, probably that nose position. He's got good twitch in the box, plays with his hands well. At 278, you know, he's already kind of plug and play, so that means he could play a little bit earlier than a lot of other kids, just depending on how quickly he picks up our system.
Cole Rue is coming in from Overland Park, another offensive lineman.
Yeah, 6'5", 242. So what do we got to do? We got to develop. He's got a great frame for – we're pigeonholing him into the offensive tackle position. On film, physicality and his ability to run are what really separate him out. We think he's got a lot of upside. He's another one of those kids. You know, when you turn on a tape, you're always looking for – you don't hear the whistle, but you kind of know when the play stops. Is that kid still blocking to the whistle? And every time we watch that son of a gun, he's pancaking people. He's fighting with people. He's biting and kicking and screaming. You know, he just plays hard. And, you know, now it's just up to Joe Q. You think I got a long laundry list for Joe Q?
I'm sure he's up for the task there, too, no doubt about it. The next position, only one you're bringing in here at quarterback, is Chris Renke out of the Platte City.
Winner. Okay, I don't really probably don't have to say anything more than that. That kid makes everybody around him better. He's a student of the game and a football junkie. He's got big-time arm talent. He can throw every football you want him to throw on a college football field right now. When you pop in tape, he's got a quick release, you know, which is obviously important for a kid at the college level. You know, the thing I think he got a little bit undersold on, he can run with the ball too. They didn't ask him to do that a lot, but I think he's a better athlete than people think. Had a phenomenal high school career, which is going to translate here. He's a great leader, which is what we got to have out of the quarterback position. That was our target. We got that target. That was our guy.
Next up, Niall Shutt, a defensive lineman out of Tipton, Iowa, had a big junior and senior year there in Tipton.
This kid is a big-time player, okay, who has a personality to match. So when you think this kid, I want you to think Zach Howard. So personalities are almost aligned perfectly. When I would call him on the phone, I would be fired up after talking to him.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, he's never had a bad day. To sift through that a little bit, it starts to give you a bead on the leadership qualities and how he's going to draw people in. He's got a huge ceiling. He's got the size to play early, already above 270 pounds. Like I said, reminds me of Zach. On film, you know, he's not at the biggest school in the world, but he absolutely blistered his competition on both sides of the ball. Started two ways. He uses hands well, sheds blocks, and plays with a great motor. He's disruptive in the run and in the passing game. He's going to knock the heck out of quarterbacks on Saturday, which you know I love. He's tough and intense. I think this is a kid that's going to compete early.
Now, talk just a bit about the transfers bringing in, but one here, Tyson Strobin, an offensive lineman out of Sioux City, Iowa, in South Dakota State.
Yeah, absolutely. So he's a kid we recruited out of high school from Sioux City to Helan. His film in high school was really impressive. He's physical and plays with a nasty. This kid can play all five positions on the offensive line, which is an aberration. That just doesn't happen. He's got the skill set to do it. He had a really good test day when he came to campus. We expect him to get into the mix immediately and vie for playing time. His biggest hurdle is just going to be learning the ins and outs of the offense. But this kid is a kid that you guys want to watch.
Wes Willis is a defensive end coming in from Wellsburg, Iowa, played at Grundy Center High School. Of the superlatives listed, I love seeing a FFA 4-H kid coming into Northwest, such a big ag school, but a guy that's probably going to get it done on the football field too.
Absolutely. Both him and Niall are real active in ag. And, you know, Wes is a tremendous leader. He played, for those of you guys, you know, we're down here in Missouri. I recruited Eastern Iowa for a lot of years. Grundy Center is a great football program, a lot like Maryville. I could draw a lot of comparisons to the culture and the type of program it is. He's got big upside. On film, it's his motor and acceleration. We're going to look at him as the open side defensive end versus the closed side, where he can really get on an edge and go. This is another multi-sport kid that's going to benefit from the weight room. He reminds me, if I were going to come out of a blast from our past, he's got a similar skill set to an Austin Eskew, and Austin turned out to be a pretty good football player here at Northwest. So yeah. Hopefully I'm right.
I think you got a good point there. Next one tied in, Cameron Wiseau, Pomona, Kansas, and he was selected to the Kansas Shrine Bowl, and for a lot of people who don't know, that's a big deal being selected to that.
I'm going to tell you guys something, okay? He played running back in high school at 6'2", 239 pounds, and was extremely productive. You watch this kid, and he's dynamic. I mean, he could play running back. I mean, he wasn't just some big plotter that was back there trying to gain 3 or 4 yards. He's running away from people on level 2 and level 3. He's got great hands. He's got a big frame. At 240 now, he's starting to be able to cross into that threshold of playing at Northwest Missouri State early. He can do it all. He can run. He can catch. He can block. He's really versatile, and he's got a huge upside.
We talked about Tank Young just a little bit, and we touched on Luke Zagunas, but more so the brother side. But what's he bring as an individual football player?
You know, with Luke, brother Seth is obviously in the program, but Luke, what kind of separates him, you know, in talking to his coaches and the people down there is his work ethic and toughness. This is a kid, okay? We talk about this, and I'm going to give you a little back room talk, but we talk about a fist fight in a phone booth. If I got to have a fist fight in a phone booth, then I'm going to put two people in there. Luke Zagunas is going in that phone booth because I think he's coming out all right. He's got a great motor, plays to the whistle. He played every position on the offensive line in high school. He'll be focused in on the interior positions here, but he's a good get.
You know, nowadays, though, you got to remind people what a phone booth is.
Yeah, exactly. My kids wouldn't know, I can assure you that.
I tell you, just watching you go over these players, I know we've done this last several years with you, but you really seem extremely excited about this particular group.
I really am. You know, what's nice, again, you have pluses and minuses to every single class, you know, so when you recruit a smaller class, you better hit on the kids that you recruit. And I feel phenomenal about this recruiting class. You know, when you're not bringing in 45 or 50 people, it gives you an opportunity to get to know the kids and their families and their makeups. And, you know, so just the different level of relationship, I think, plays a big role in that. And I'm really excited about this group of kids and what they're going to do moving forward at Northwest Missouri State.
And it feels like on signing day, there are a lot of kids that we won't see develop until down the road. But the excitement, the way you talk about some, they're going to come in and compete right away.
That's what we're looking for. You know, the reason why we've been successful at Northwest Missouri State, and we tell kids this when we recruit them, is that, you know, I might think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread this year, but next year I'm going out and trying to find your replacement. And that level of competition is what makes us good. I never want a kid in our program to feel like he's just got a spot. I always want somebody biting at his heels because competition is what makes us all great. You know, having to wake up every day and give your best is a big part to the whole success formula, and I think these kids fit that need.
Well, what's next now that signing date has come and gone, and you look ahead toward the spring with COVID and everything else? How are you going to work everything in for spring practice?
Well, it's going to be different. So I'll kind of try and give you the cliff notes to everything. So spring practice is going to be different than spring practice has ever been. We have 105, I think it was, or no, 115. I can't remember. One or the other. So you have to bear with me on that. But we used right around 50 of those days in the fall. So we're going to utilize the other 50 in the spring. Okay. We also have spring ball. So starting next week, next Tuesday and Thursday, we're going to have practice on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's not going to be skills and drills. It's going to be half shell. It's going to be an hour long. We're going to try and keep it short and sweet. We're going to do some fundamental work. But in addition to that, get some teamwork done for 6 practices. At the same time, Joe Q's got them going through all of our heavy lifting right now. The quad, which is our big testing event, happens in March. They took our spring break away from us, gosh darn it. But I'm going to give the kids a week off there, and then we're going to come back and finish our competitive season on the second half. Right now, looking like on April 10th, we will have an NFL practice, meaning one of those preseason practices with another team. Looks like it's going to be Sioux Falls out of South Dakota. They're going to be coming down to Maryville, so we're going to get to do that. So it'll be nice to actually get to hit somebody different. And then culminate out with a spring game.
All right. Well, Rich, good to have you with us on the show here today. It's a fun time.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's always enjoyable to talk to you.
Again, we've been talking with Rich Wright, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team on National Signing Day. Our broadcast coming to you live here this afternoon from A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville. You're listening to KXCV Maryville and KRNW Chillicothe. As, again, Signing Day is wrapping up with those players, so it's been great to have Rich on the program here today, and we'll have much more on Bearcat football coming up during our sportscast during the day.